Welcome to this Bree podcast. I'm Mia.
And I'm Milo.
Today we start with a big privacy fight in Europe, then move to major Rust rewrites, signals in developer communities, and a few threads that are just interesting.
Mia, the privacy story today has a vote count attached to it.
A committee in the European Parliament just voted on the chat control proposal. The core idea is scanning every private message, including encrypted ones, for child sexual abuse material.
And the Civil Liberties Committee said yes, 31 votes to 26, with 3 abstentions. That is a narrow path for a very broad surveillance mechanism.
The plan would override earlier safeguards that protected encrypted chats. The backlash is already sharp, from encryption experts, digital rights groups, and some EU member states who see a backdoor mandate.
What the vote does is set up a bigger fight in the full parliament, but the direction of travel right now is clear.
Now a different kind of overhaul. A community project to rewrite the PostXQA database engine in Rust just hit a milestone.
Does this one actually run the original tests?
100%. It passes the entire original PostgreSQL regression test suite. That means functional parity with the standard engine, at least on paper.
So we have a memory-safe Postgres, but the question is whether it can ever leave the lab. These rewrites are famously expensive.
That is where a separate thread fits in. It argues that generative AI is fundamentally lowering the cost of these massive rewrites, cutting developer hours to a point where a project like this becomes thinkable.
Not that they used AI to build this one, but that the economics of the whole category are shifting under our feet.
That logic is playing out in real time with another project. The Bun JavaScript runtime is rewriting parts of its engine from Zig to Rust.
So after we just talked about rewriting a database, now it is a JavaScript engine. What is the trade-off they are actually making?
It is not a full rewrite of Bun, just a subset of the internals. According to a developer breakdown, the big gain for Rust is developer onboarding. More people know the language and its tools.
And the cost?
They lose Zig's comptime metaprogramming, which the original code used heavily for fast hash maps and web API code generation. The analysis also points out the new Rust code might not actually run faster than the already optimized Zig.
So it is a maintainability bet, not a raw performance one.
Exactly. Familiarity over a very specific speed trick.
Speaking of moves, a small but vocal slice of the developer community is pulling their code from GitHub.
Where are they going and why?
The main driver is political. They are objecting to Microsoft's perceived alignment with current US policies, what some call a techno-fascist ecosystem. The alternative they are naming is Codeberg, a nonprofit host backed by NLNet in Berlin.
So it is a shift from a centralized, corporate-owned giant to a decentralized, European nonprofit. Is GitLab in the mix?
Self-hosting Gitia or GitLab is also on the table for teams that want total control. The narrative was pulled together by the Garbage Day newsletter, citing Hacker News. But a caution. The original source article wouldn't render, so we are working off the summary.
There's noise on the platforms they are leaving behind. A new report says AI-generated content is flooding social media, and LinkedIn is the standout example.
That feels true, just scrolling through it. What does the report actually pin down?
It pins down very little. The original article is unavailable, so we have no methodology or data, just the headline and the discussion around it. But the signal is that professional credibility might be the next thing AI noise erodes.
We also saw a claim in the feed about a model named GLM 5.2. It is supposedly nearly as accurate as a human bookkeeper.
If verified, that kind of specialized, detail-oriented accuracy would be a real step.
But that is a big if. The Hacker News headline is all we have. The original paper is inaccessible. So it is a pin on the map, not a proven fact.
Now, a sharp warning with a vivid metaphor. An article titled The Glass Backbone argues logistics will break the U.S. Army in the next big war.
What does a glass backbone mean in a military context?
It means an interconnected digital system that looks strong but is brittle. The argument is that the Army's logistics are optimized for peacetime efficiency with data centers and real-time tracking.
Right. An appear adversary would target those networks with cyber and electronic warfare on day one.
And the paralysis cascades. If you cannot order, track, or route, the fuel and ammunition never leave the depot. The original piece is gone, so this comes from the Hacker News analysis, but the core thesis is clear.
Let's end this block with a biology story that caught our eye. Spider venom versus a bee killer.
Researchers have found a peptide in spider venom that is lethal to the varroa mite. That is the parasite decimating honeybee colonies globally.
And it does not hurt the bees. That selectivity is the real prize. Current chemical treatments can contaminate honey, and the mites build resistance.
Pressure on one vector, no collateral damage to the hive. The details are thin because the primary paper is unavailable, but the abstract-level finding points to a possible new tool for a very old agricultural problem.
A quiet decision from the people who keep the world's clocks in sync. The iOS has confirmed no leap second will be added at the end of December 2026.
Which continues a pattern. We haven't added one since 2016.
Precisely. Leap seconds exist to keep ultra-precise atomic time aligned with the Earth's slightly slowing rotation. But each one creates a tiny risk of disrupting satellite networks or financial systems.
So the pause is less about the planet speeding up and more about a global debate on whether to just scrap the practice entirely.
Right. The target for a final decision is by 2035. So for now, the trend is simply not to add them.
A new Y Combinator startup wants to solve a messy problem, pulling clean data from any website. It's called context.dev.
The pitch is a straightforward API that takes a URL and returns structured data, something developers often have to build fragile custom scrapers for.
The source here is a launch post on Hacker News, so it's the company's own framing. The original detailed article was not available.
Which means we don't have specifics on the underlying tech, pricing, or how it handles a site that actively tries to block extraction. The interest from the HN community is clear, but the real test is how well it works at scale.
A practical guide surfaced on Hacker News today that tackles a common security shortcut. It lays out how to properly automate TLS certificates for internal services.
The core idea is simple. Don't manually manage shirts, and don't use self-signed ones that nobody trusts. The recommendation is to run your own internal certificate authority.
And make it speak the SAEPA protocol, the same standard Let's Encrypt uses. Tools like the open-source Stepterrigan to do this. Internal services then automatically get short-lived certificates.
The main benefit is that a short-lived cert limits the damage from a key leak. It also avoids the whole nightmare of managing certificate revocation lists, which is where manual setups really fall apart.
We have a real cost breakdown from the long-running website Damn Interesting. The founder, Alan Bellows, has opened the books to explain a funding drive to keep the site alive.
He publishes deeply researched, long-form nonfiction with zero ads. It's a website, not a podcast. And the price of that independence is $89,700 a year.
The biggest line item is the assistant editor's salary at $48,000, then writer pay at $17,500, and pure server costs at $12,000.
They're asking for straight donations and selling what they call curiosity capsules, basically a digital time capsule. It's a transparent look at the fragile math behind an ad-free publication.
A quick glimpse now at a creative hardware mod. A developer posted a project on Hacker News called Analog Watch.
The idea seems to be turning a broken analog watch into a wearable e-paper display. The post got a decent amount of attention.
But a big caveat here, the original article detailing the build is unavailable. So we only have the project's title and the community's initial upvotes.
So we can see the curiosity is there for DIY wearables, but we can't confirm the project's final functionality or share the build process itself.
For anyone who finds setting up a Raspberry Pi a bit daunting, a project called Pi.dev has surfaced. It's described as an opinionated and easy configuration tool.
The goal is to lower the friction, making a bunch of setup choices for the user instead of presenting a blank terminal.
The source is a Hacker News summary with 67 points. But again, the original article with the technical details was not accessible.
So we know there's community interest in simpler Pi tools. What those specific opinionated choices are, we just can't verify from the available evidence.
A new name is surfacing among developer power users. A tiling window manager called Hi3 just hit a high point total on Hacker News.
281 points on a single post. That signals a real spike in attention.
The catch is, the original article was down, so we're missing the details on what makes Hi3 different from established managers like i3 or Sway.
But that point score alone puts it on the radar of a community that's very opinionated about how they manage their desktop windows. It's a name to watch.
Finally, an update for designers. Muse Spark 1.1 has been released.
The tool is described as AI native, with this release focused squarely on user experience improvements. The announcement on Hacker News pulled in 237 points.
The source was brief, so we don't have specifics on the feature list or a direct comparison to the previous version. But the high point total suggests a user base that's paying very close attention.
To finish, a small thing that caught a lot of attention this week. A new browser game called 18 Words landed on Hacker News.
The pitch is simple. You get a fixed set of letters and a timer, and you need to build 18 specific words.
The Show Agen post by user PomPomSheep asks, can you survive 18 words?
It pulled in over 700 points, which is a strong signal of interest.
We do not have the comment thread, though, so we can only say it got traction, not what players actually thought of the puzzle. That is the show. A quick thank you for listening and for making time for the details that matter.
We will be back next time. I'm Mia.
And I'm Milo.